gracious and kind Father. It has been quite a while, but let me just say it's so good to be back in this house today. So good. Thank you for those who are here and for those who are with us on the Zoom, Lord. We thank you. Lord, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Your word reveals the truth, which sets us free to be changed so that we can make a difference for others. Lord, I just ask that your Holy Spirit lead and guide me as your word comes forth this morning. I give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, as a church body, we were talking about spiritual maturity, right? And last week, we were talking about salvation, which Sister Linda brought forth very, very well. And we're going to talk about some other things about spiritual maturity, okay? Mm. Now, we learned that salvation is God's free gift, right?
Yes.
And when we accept this free gift, we are justified and made right with God. Because it is by God's grace through faith that we have been saved, and we can never do anything of our own effort to earn it. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
When we receive Christ as Lord and Savior, we also receive the Holy Spirit, who begins a great work in our lives. The Spirit convicts us of sin, convinces us of God's righteousness, and dwells within us, okay? All right. No one becomes a Christian without this gracious work of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So, this morning, we're going to talk about baptism. And you've got baptism by water, and you've got baptism by the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Now, Ephesians 1, I do this all the time, sorry y'all. Let me give y'all the words so y'all can look back on this. Let's start with Ephesians 1, 13, and that's page 14, 36.
1, 13?
There we have, yes. 1 and 13, page 13, 46. Then we've got Matthew 3. 13 through 15, page 1154, in your voice. The 3 and 13, I mean, sorry, 3, 13 through 15, page 1154. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, page 1198. Mark 1, 7 and 8, page 1200.
Was it?
Mark 1, 7 and 8, page 1200. Acts 1 and 5, page 1327. Acts 1 and 8, page 1327. Acts 2, 1 through 5, page 1328. Acts 2, 38 and 39, page 1330. Does anyone need me to repeat anything again? If not, I will begin. Ephesians 1 and 13. I'm going to read some other, sometimes I'm going to read another version. I'm going to read the Amplified. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the good news of your salvation, and as a result, believed in him, was stamped with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit, the one promised by Christ, as owned and protected by God. Now, salvation is our first and most important step to beginning a new relationship with the Lord. Without it, it's impossible to have a relationship with him. So where do we go from here? What's next? In order for our relationship to grow, we have to spend time getting to know God. And that will only come from reading, studying, and meditating in his word.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in life has a process, and getting to know God is the same way. Part of that process after salvation is baptism. And we're going to talk about water baptism. Amen?
Okay.
The word baptism comes from the Greek word, which means to immerse or dip. In a biblical sense, when a person was baptized, they were completely submerged underwater and then immediately raised up. Water baptism is a public profession of a person's repentance and faith in Jesus Christ and a way of giving an outward testimony of an inner change by the man of God.
Mm-hmm.
It symbolically identifies us as a new creation in Christ. When we go down in the water, we are illustrating that our old nature is dead to sin and buried by faith in Christ. As a result, we are set free from our old master, who is Satan. When we are raised up out of the water, we are signifying a new nature, raised by the Spirit and made alive by faith in Christ. Our new master is the Lord Jesus, and we are making the commitment to walk in righteousness through the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells inside us. Okay? Baptism originated with John the Baptist and is actually what earned him the title, the Baptist. John was widely known for baptizing people in the River Jordan, and Jesus himself was water baptized by John at the beginning of his ministry. Jesus was without sin, yet he humbled himself in obedience to identify with us and give us an example to follow. Matthew 3:13-15. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized there by John. John didn't want to do it. I'm taking this from the Living Bible. "This is improper," he said. "I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you." But Jesus said, "Please do it, for I must do all that is right." So then John baptized him. Water baptism is an act of faith and obedience to the commands of Christ. Matthew 29:19-20. Jesus said, "I am here speaking with all authority of God, who has commanded me to give you this commission. Go out and make disciples in all the nations. Ceremonially wash them through baptism in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Then disciple them. Form them in the practices and postures that I have taught you, and show them how to follow the commands I have laid down for you. And I will be with you day after day to the end of the age." Mm-hmm. Baptism declares that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. It is a public confession of your faith and commitment to him. It is the next step after salvation through repentance and faith, and is an important foundation for the Christian life. Water baptism is a demonstration of our obedience to Christ. It's a symbol to identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Standing in the water symbolizes Jesus dying on the cross. Immersing in the water symbolizes Jesus being buried in the tomb. And being raised from the water symbolizes Jesus rising from the dead. We bury the old life, and we rise to walk in a new life. Water baptism is a public declaration of our surrender to God, indicating that we are willing to do his will and live by his standards. Water baptism is a practical demonstration of spiritual reality and a personal testimony that we have passed from the old life of sin to a new life in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
All right, man. So, now we have that water baptism. What about baptism in the Holy Spirit? Well, well, well.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was predicted by John the Baptist and by Jesus before he ascended to heaven. This promise was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. For the first time, people were permanently indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and the church had begun. John the Baptist, Mark 1:7-8, John says, "Someone is coming who is a lot more powerful than I am, one whose sandals I'm not worthy to bend down and untie. I've washed you here through baptism with water. But when he gets here, he will wash you in the Spirit of God."
Mm.
Amen. Mm. And when he gets here, he's talking about Jesus. When he gets here, he will wash you in the Spirit of God. After Jesus had risen from the dead, he had appeared to the apostles over a period of 40 days talking to them about the things concerning the kingdom of God. While being together and eating with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. Acts 1:5, page 1327, Jesus said to them, "This is what you have heard me teach, that just as John ritually cleansed people with water through baptism, so you will be washed with the Holy Spirit very soon." The baptism of the Holy Spirit is an empowering gift from God the Father that is promised to every believer. It helps the Christian to live a holy life and also bring a new devotional attachment to Jesus Christ, making him very real and precious. It also gives greater power for witnessing and includes a greater joy for our spiritual service and a heightened sense of our mission for the world. Amen?
Amen.
Acts 1:8. Here's the knowledge you need. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses, first here in Jerusalem, then beyond to Judea and Samaria, and finally to the farthest places on earth. So that's speaking to us. We are his witnesses right here in Virginia Beach, Chesapeake, wherever you live, you are his witnesses. And you're going to go beyond that because wherever you travel, wherever you go, we are his witnesses. Acts 2:1-5. It says, when the holy day of Pentecost came, 50 days after the Passover, they were gathered in one place. Picture this. A sound roars from the sky without warning. The roar of a violent wind, and the whole house where you are gathered reverberates with sound. Then a flame appears, dividing into smaller flames and spreading from one person to the next. All the people present are filled with the Holy Spirit and begin speaking in languages they've never spoken as the Spirit empowers them. Mm-hmm. Now, as this had been taking place, the Apostle Peter addressed that crowd and told them that they should be filled. He said, "The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Acts 2:38-39. This is Peter speaking. Reconsider your lives. Change your direction. Participate in the ceremonial washing of baptism in the name of Jesus, God's anointed, the liberating King. Then your sins will be forgiven and the gift of the Holy Spirit will be yours. Amen. For the promise of the Spirit is for you, your children, for all people, even those considered outsiders and outcasts. Amen. The Lord our God invites everyone to come to him. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for every believer in every generation. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is promised to everyone, to all Christian believers. As the Spirit-filled believer serves the Lord, there is a release of spiritual power. It becomes necessary to open oneself up afresh to the Holy Spirit in order that his power can be replenished. The command in Ephesians 5:18 is to literally keep on being filled with the Spirit. Mm. Even though we have been baptized with the Holy Spirit, we constantly need to be refilled. We run out. We constantly, just like when your car is running, you got to put gas in it, don't you? Mm-hmm. You got to constantly ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, in your everyday, whatever you're doing for God, the Holy Spirit is there and you still need to be replenished because sometimes you can get tired, and you just need an infilling. You just know you need power from on high. You know it's not within you, but you know it's in God's power that he gives you, okay? And see, we can easily be caught up by the world we live in and can lose something of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. See, we can get caught up like that, okay? The Spirit-filled life is a continuous process of receiving and giving, of being filled and sharing with others. There you go. Of receiving power from God and then using it in service to him. So when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, it allows for God's power to flow through us to accomplish his perfect will for our lives. This is where you really enter into what is called the anointing. The anointing is the power of the Holy Spirit operating through us to accomplish whatever it is God wants us to do for him. You know, it's the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage, the yoke of oppression. When I was praying with that lady, it was the anointing She needed to be encouraged, and it was the anointing that set in and helped her to be encouraged. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Baptism in the Holy Spirit allows for the gifts of the Spirit, such as tongues, interpretation of tongues, word of knowledge, healing, etc. It's to be evident in our lives for the building up of the church. If you read 1 Corinthians 12, you'll get a better understanding of all those gifts. And we also want you to read Galatians. Galatians 5:22 starts with the gifts of the Spirit, mm-hmm. you know? So, when you read those things, you can get a better understanding. Mm-hmm. The Apostle Paul encourages us to eagerly pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy, which speaks about what God has revealed. Jesus said that we can do greater things than the ones he did while he was here on earth. The only way we can see that happening is to be filled with the Holy Spirit and let him work through us. Amen? Now, how do you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You receive the Holy Spirit by faith, based on the truth of Scripture and the desire of your heart to accept the promise of God for yourself. The acceptance of the promise of God's power is by faith, the same faith used to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. To receive the Holy Spirit, you simply approach God in an attitude of faith. Because according to Luke 11:13, it is his good pleasure to give his Spirit to those who ask. Amen.
Amen.
In conclusion, God's purpose is for every one of his children to be filled with the same Holy Spirit that empowered Jesus' own life. We cannot reduce this experience to a simple formula. In fact, we're talking about the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. To receive, we simply go to our Heavenly Father in an attitude of faith and ask. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, and he wants to fill his children. Through experiencing the 9 gifts and the 9 fruits of the Spirit, we can effectively share the love and power of Jesus Christ to many people. We can also find power to overcome many temptations, trials, and tests in life. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Ooh, thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord. We are so glad for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Where would we be without him? We are so glad because it gives us the power to have our lives be a reflection of you. That same power is used to keep us determined to do your will, Lord, and keep us humble as we commit to walk in your righteousness and obedience.
Yes.
We praise you, Lord. We honor you. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen.